I'm also going to use this time, as always, to just give my love to DCS. I always have to. I talk about this program at least like once a month. I talked about it today, actually. Just talking about how this has really changed my life. And without this opportunity, I don't even think I would have ended up at GW, and be where I am. I actually think this is very pivotal in my journey. So always have to give thanks, to the program and for all you guys have done for me over the years.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Jake, and yourself?
I am doing okay, and you are kind to be spending your Tuesday evening on a
Of
Zoom
course.
conversations. All right, so let's go back. You are a two-time guest
Yeah.
on the famous Delaware College Scholars podcast. But yeah, so let's like I want to walk back a little bit through your journey in college, just because we are at the point now where a lot of kids have like decided and are like
Yeah.
thinking kind of yeah that transition like next phase. So how did you find yourself at the George Washington University?
Funny enough, I applied to 13 colleges. 13 is actually my lucky number, and GW was the last college. I don't even know how it ended up on my radar, but I was actually looking at Georgetown and Howard because I was interested in going to school in DC, which I actually had decided after we visited DC, actually on a DCS trip when I was, I think it was my summer before my junior year of high school.
So that would have been your first DCS summer. Yep.
Yeah, that was like 20. That would have been 2018 summer, I'm pretty sure. You guys have to fact check me on that. But I applied. I ended up. I really liked that it was test optional. GW still is test optional. I know a lot of schools are. And I liked that it was in DC. I got accepted, but I actually wasn't even supposed to go to GW. I was going between Loyola, Maryland, which we had also visited, with DCS and University of Washington in Seattle. GW ended up being my final choice because I had already like decided on my major. I was very all in on international affairs, and it was one of the most top ranked schools for IA. It's in the heart of the city. I knew that there would be a lot of opportunities for me as an international affairs major, and I was like, okay. Now, what I will say is that GW did not give me the most financial aid. Actually, I think I probably, like, if I'm doing a list, I think it was like in the bottom percentile.
Come on, GW.
Yeah, I know. And at the time when I started college, GW was $76,000 a year, which is crazy. And now it's like 80,000, which is crazier. So it definitely didn't give me the most financial aid, but I really sat down and I talked with my mom about opportunities and how I could really expand on the experience and get the most out of my 4 years. And what I will say is that I definitely took as much of an advantage of the position that I was in at the university and also the city. And I honestly would never change my decision. Now that I've graduated, I would not have gone to another school, like hands down. If I were to do it all over again, I would definitely decide on GW.
Couple things. This is why having this conversation with you is fun, just because I can go in a variety of places. But talking about like the opportunities and sort of like maximizing your time there, you did this. I mean, I wrote it in like our rundown. Like you seemingly did everything. You were the VP of Young Black Professionals in International Affairs. You were the business administrator for the National Council of Negro Women. You were the retention and recruitment working group. And you also like were a legislative intern for the House of Reps. You were a program assistant for the Elliott School of International Affairs. So like again, I can just like continue to read your LinkedIn, but like this stuff is really impressive, and you're doing this all as a like college student, 18 to 22. I guess first, like knowing that you wanted to maximize your time and experience, how did you create these opportunities for yourself? And we don't have to go one by one because we'd be here for 3 hours, but just generally speaking, I find that really impressive. And some, you know, as somebody that didn't put themselves out there, I really admire you doing so. So like, how did you go about creating all of these opportunities for yourself?
I definitely took a lot of advice from my high school self, and I say that because in high school I was also a very I tried to get my hand in everything. There was not a day of the week that I was not after school in high school, and I realized that it was those opportunities, those extracurricular activities that really made me a competitive candidate when I was applying to colleges, and I wanted to make sure that when I was graduating college, I would also be a competitive candidate in the workforce. So I was like, okay, in the same way that I went with that same grit and that determination to make myself well-rounded and holistic, I want to make sure that that can translate into my resume once these 4 years are done, especially since I was spending so much money. So I was like, okay, like I'm spending this much money. I know that I, have a lot on the line. I want to make sure that when I leave here, I can say, okay, not only did I get an education, but I was able to do X, Y, and Z. And, I'm able to go into either the workforce or the job market and people can speak about kind of my qualifications or the things that I did in college. Now, on top of that, I consider myself to be a very a personal person. I really like having conversations with people and talking to people. And so a lot of the opportunities that I did get were actually just through conversation and going up and pitching myself to people. Like, hey, like you may not have this position currently, but this is what I can do. And I've had conversations. I got a job actually my freshman year. She didn't even have the position open, but I was just telling her like what I could do and what I was interested in. And she created a position for me because I was able to pitch myself, my skill set, and my passions in the way that she felt called to kind of take me upon her team. So I think that's one of my biggest advices is being able to find a way to pitch yourself. Like in the same way you see like many investors, like startup founders, having their like 30-second elevator pitch when they're going to like angel investors or whatever, be able to do that for yourself as well because opportunities can really fly out of like thin air when you're able to do stuff like that.
When you pitched yourself, like in that moment, was that something that you had practiced? Like, did you know what you were gonna say, or is this like, hey, I'm just winging it, like fired up?
No.
And how did you pitch yourself, I guess?
I didn't. I was actually at a I'd received a scholarship in high school from the Trinidadian Society in Delaware, and I was at the scholarship recipient like dinner. And the woman there, after I went up to do my speech, she worked at GW and she was like, "Oh my gosh, like I work at GW." And I was like, "Really? I'm actually looking for a job." Turns out she wasn't even in like she worked in the museum studies program, which is far from what I was doing. But I was like, hey, I'm currently at GW. This is what I'm studying. I have like clerical skills because in high school I, was like vice president or president or secretary of X, Y, and Z club. This is my first year at GW, but I'm always willing to learn. Like, this is what my class schedule is like right now. Like, is there any way that you're looking for like any like extra assistance at your office? And she was like, yeah, things have been like really busy, X, Y, and Z. And she was able to give me at that time, I think I was the administrative assistant to like the Museum Studies program, which is a graduate school program at GW. And from there, I took that position and was able to find other positions actually that were more in my field.
Where were you when I was going to college? I needed you to tell me what to do. Okay, so in doing all of the stuff, right? Like, how also were you able to balance your time? And I think the idea, like there's never a perfect balance. Like, I laugh when people talk about work-life balance. Like, there is no perfect balance. But there are going to be some weeks that like maybe are geared more towards like your you time and more geared towards work. So how did you find that necessary balance of like, I'm really excelling in school, I'm excelling in all of the things that I'm putting myself out there for, internships, et cetera, but I'm also finding time for like me, friends, relationships.
I think when I first entered college, I actually really struggled with that. And I think I had a conversation with a few friends a couple months back, and we were noting that I think the difference between college and high school is that there is more leniency in the way that you can structure your day. Like you have the autonomy to do it rather than someone else telling you, like, this is what you're going to do. And because the power was now in my hands, I hadn't been used to having to create my own schedule. And so I don't think I actually was able to really solidify something that was really effective and efficient until maybe my sophomore year. And this may sound like, I'm sure a lot of people do say this, but getting a planner was amazing for me. I got my iPad. I synced that to my Google Calendar. I was syncing that to my Apple Calendar and just making sure that I was setting reminders about, okay, like I have this meeting because I know I have a lot of clubs that I got to do. But, you know, because there's so much, I don't just set it like, okay, I have a 5 p.m. meeting. I set it that, okay, remind me an hour before that I have a 5 p.m. meeting so that I'm always kind of up to date with that. On top of that, I also just was learning to say no, because I know that I'm someone who is very, like, I love being a part of my community. I love serving. I love just doing a bunch of things. I had to tell myself no, like, okay, maybe this is not the semester for you to do this club, but that doesn't mean that you won't get the opportunity to do so. It's just not the time. And then also choosing what to prioritize. Like one semester, I was just like, okay, like I have a heavier course load, so we're gonna have to get rid of a club. Or maybe I have a lighter course load, so now you can take another club. So prioritizing, saying no, just making sure that I was together on my digital calendar space. And just learning to kind of like pivot as things change, because my schedule every semester was never the same. It was always something different.
During your time in school, you served as a math tutor for Math Matters, and now you are an AmeriCorps fellow. Mm-hmm. So could you just first, I guess, describe to our hundreds of thousands of listeners your current role and what you enjoy most about it?
Perfect. So I'm a remote AmeriCorps Math Fellow, and I teach at a college in Southeast DC, Eastern High School. And I teach algebra. I teach freshmen and juniors. And my role is actually so out of the ordinary for what I have done over the past 22 years. I did not classify myself as someone who was just very STEM related. Mind you, I tried to avoid as many math and science classes as possible in college. As long as I got the requirement off the list, I was good to go. And it's funny because now I'm in a space where I'm very stimulated. One of the biggest benefits that I've been able to get from this opportunity and also the last opportunity, I'm realizing even more so that my passion is in education. But I'm also learning that there are ways for me to go into the field of education and kind of make it my own, because I did study international affairs in my undergraduate career, and that's something that I'm still incredibly passionate about. So I'm finding ways in which to kind of like link those passions, those interests, and that degree to kind of this newfound passion for education and educational leadership, because I love teaching, I love working with students, I love mentorship, and that's kind of my driving factor. And I wouldn't have been able to get that knowledge about, like, okay, this is actually what I really love doing if I didn't get those two opportunities.
So here's something that I'm really interested in, and we've had, and I want you to share like a few moments just like that. Like, I remember in our last conversation, there were just like some really profound moments that you had with students, but like the idea of, hey, I'm going to GW, I'm majoring in IA, with the idea of like, hey, law is probably going to be like my thing, right? And then having, you know, and now you like that pivot, right? To where now you're still in a real way affecting a lot of folks who need help and are seeking like a safe space, which you're providing, which is really cool. But allowing yourself to pivot where, like, hey, like, I thought my plan was law school, and now it looks very different. I think because I know we have a lot of students who struggle with convincing themselves that it's okay to actually pivot and do the thing that they might want to do. We see this a lot with med school in particular. Like, hey, I'm going to be a doctor. It's like, actually, like, I want to do X, but I'm really scared because I've been telling people why my whole life. So again, it's a poor job of me just like rambling on, but I guess that pivot, that transition, how were you able to like tell yourself, hey, this is actually okay, and this is what I want to do? And maybe it's that simple. Like, maybe I just answered it. But
unfortunately, it wasn't that simple for me. And I think I'm still going through the process, but something that I had to overcome, especially as a person who comes from a low-income family, an immigrant family, there is this idea that, you know, when your parents make sacrifices for you and they travel across the world for these opportunities, you know, there are three options. You're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And when you kind of like stick to that path and it doesn't come to fruition, you may feel as if like the world is on your shoulder, right? Like, oh my God, it was my job to, you know, go to school and make this money and make my parents proud and kind of, you know, be the actualization of those sacrifices. And so that was the first thing I had to overcome, was that no matter what happens, like, I'm the person that's going to have to wake up and live in this body of mine and live the life that I'm living. So I want to make sure that that person is happy with my day to day. And so kind of coming to terms with that was the first step. The second step was still understanding, like, hey, I also do want to make money. I want to make sure that I have the livelihood where I can take care of myself and my loved ones. So how can I mix passion and also be efficient in the way that I'm kind of following a path where, you know, not only my parents' sacrifices, but my own sacrifices that I've done, you know, studying, countless hours of studying, you know, applications, et cetera, can also come into play. So that pivot was really hard because, like, I wanted to be a lawyer. That was kind of my thing. And I think after figuring out that there was a way for me to still kind of protect my livelihood and give myself space to be able to ensure my own success, but also allow myself to engage in that side of me that really wants to follow her passions, and that it was okay to have that split, I think that's been great. Additionally, a second thing is talking to people my age, because I realized that a lot of people who are, you know, 22, 21, 18, 19, I think a lot of us are actually having these thoughts, and I think it can be really isolating, especially when you're by yourself. You may feel as if you're the only person experiencing this, but through talking to other like-minded individuals, people within my age range, my friends, it allows me to also have a space to have conversation and receive advice about like how to pivot, or maybe I don't need to necessarily pivot. It, but maybe there may be something that I never thought about that could work for me. And so that's been great, like leaning in on community, because I've gotten so many ideas and so many just insight about how I could make my next steps.
What has been the most rewarding part of your current job and what you're doing?
I've had kids who at the beginning of the year did not even want to know my name. Like, they just weren't even interested in speaking with me. And now, like, I get on our session and I can't even hang up because they're like, okay, like, I got to tell you about what I'm doing this weekend. And I want you to know that I had this tournament or I had this game and I want you to know how it went. Or just letting you know, like, they're just letting me in to be a part of their lives. And that's really important to me because I really strive on creating a very social, I call it social emotional learning in my classroom space. And I want to make holistic students. So I really enable them to just be people. And the fact that they feel called to just be people and talk to me just like I'm any other person in their life and trust me in that way, that has been really rewarding because I think we talked about this the other day. I can tell you all the people who have mentored me and have really changed my life. Like, even if I don't speak to those people anymore, they have really left a really big impact. So to know that I have students who, you know, are like, when this ends, I want to get your number. I want to be able to still be able to reach out to you. I've, you know, been able to help my kids do college essays and, you know, I'm reading over resumes. I'm writing letters of recommendations for jobs. So stuff like that has been the most rewarding because I'm able to pass down the things that people have invested in me to other people. And I think that is kind of like a full circle moment for me.
What do you think makes you effective in creating those like relationships and those safe spaces?
I think, and I always joke and I say, I think it's because I'm an older sister. Like, I'm the eldest of all my siblings. And I've kind of just been used to kind of like being around people who are younger than me and always kind of playing like this big sister role. So while I am, yes, a teacher and I do kind of keep that boundary with my students, I think I'm able to see them as people and I really push on learning who they are intrinsically at the core. And then I work in like how they are as learners and we work in the academics, but I really, really focus on what is it that you like to do, what pushes you, what drives you, what fuels you, what makes you you. And I remember those things. I don't ask them just to write it down. I remember it. I put it into the lessons. Like, I have a lot of my kids play sports. So I went through my entire curriculum and I'm making it sports related. Now, like, you may not understand the idea of linear and exponential functions, but you love football and you play football. So now I'm learning things that I have no interest in football, but now I'm reading about football and I'm making sure that I'm matching that up with my curriculum. So making sure that my kids can see themselves in the things that they're learning, because I think it makes it one, more relatable, but two, it makes them more called to learn and be lifelong learners, which is something that I'm really pushing for them to want to love. You know, gaining knowledge and seeking knowledge, and I think they have definitely grown in that realm.
That's awesome. Man, I'm ready to run through a brick wall for you. Like, I mean, I just needed you as my math teacher, and maybe I would have advanced past pre-cal. What?
Pre-cal got us all.
Yeah, well, man, it really got your boy. What other, I mean, there are a couple of like final questions that I want to hit you with. I guess, yeah, like, can you talk to me a little bit about the feeling of like just graduating itself and just like take me to that moment and what that was like for you, knowing like the folks who sacrificed for you, also your own sacrifices, just all of that kind of, again, sometimes it can be like anticlimactic because it's like, oh, here's your name, but
It's
also
done.
there is that like moment of like the lead up, build up, and the I did it.
I was so ready to be done because my last semester of college, no shade to my college advisor, but she did not tell me about this one class that I had to take. So I had to push, take this last class. So I was actually like, I was doing 18 credits my last semester because I had to make that.
Sure.
I was going to get my thing. So my college advisor, she just was not that great. And then I was working two jobs at the time. So I was literally just trying to get the semester done. On a more like sad didn't note, I wasn't actually able to attend like my college graduation. At the time, my dad had actually fallen sick, so I was actually at home in Delaware. So I think for me, college graduation, it felt nice, but I don't think I was able to fully get the closure of like, oh my God, like I did it. But I think as I'm approaching 1 year, it's kind of finally sunk in, like, oh my gosh, like I went through 4 years of college, I was in this space, like I'm done. And now I can finally receive those really bad alumna emails about donating money and like, so I think that's kind of, I'm finally coming and like kind of sitting with that experience, because I think as somebody who is just like, I've always pushed myself to be just really high achieving, I never really give myself space to like really pat myself on the back, like you went to college, that's an amazing thing that you did. And so I'm finally giving myself that space, like you went to college, you went 4 years, like that's really great, like you should really celebrate that. And I think I'm finally doing that now.
As you continue to do that and reflect, what are you most proud of? And this doesn't have to like be, this doesn't have to pertain specifically to like academics. This can just be your life in general.
I think I'm most proud of the community that I've been able to build, and my network. I think I have had the opportunity to just meet some really great people and go to some really great places and just do and just see things that like me at like 8 years old, if I were to look at her and like tell her like, by the way, you did this? She'd be like, girl, you're lying. Like, what do you mean I did this? So I'm just happy that I'm able to kind of sit in that. But I think my community, the people that I've been able to meet, because that's been such great support as I'm continuing to transition and pivot, I'm able to lean on people and kind of like be in like constant discourse about things that are kind of changing in my life and their lives, and also just being able to help be a support, a mentor, a friend to people who are in very similar situations. Like I'm always eager to talk to incoming college students, like people who are looking to either you're in college, you're looking for internships. I'm always willing to just pass on my wealth of knowledge because as you know, being a first generation college student was, it's not easy. It's not an easy process. So anything that I can do to help, whenever I'm able to help somebody, I feel like that always makes me feel very accomplished in the things that I've done.
In 10 years, Maya will be blank.
I think in 10 years, I want to be CEO of pre or president of like my own education foundation. Like I really want to put my degree in international affairs to work. So my goal is to go into education educational leadership and policy advocacy, just learning how you can build organizations. And I want to use the international or my political background and able to do that internationally. So either set up, you know, small subsidiaries in different countries and make sure that kids, because, you know, I'm immigrant family. I was born in Jamaica. Kids like me are able to get educational opportunities and academic resources that they may have not had access to, and just ensuring that like whatever I'm doing is to the greater good of my community. So I'm not sure necessarily where, but I know that whatever I am going to be doing is going to be very community focused.
Now fill in this blank. In 10 years, my administrative assistant will be.
Jake,
Okay.
are you
I would just,
looking for
all
a
I'm saying is when you have your own nonprofit and are doing your leadership thing, sometimes the Google calendars and all of the iCalendars and
They can get messy.
like they can get messy, and you might
Yeah.
need someone
You're right.
who can keep kind of that stuff in order. And all I'm saying is, much like you sold yourself as a first year college student, what I'm just making sure that my resume is at the top of the list.
Are you willing to, is $1 million a year? Is that looking
I'm
kind of like
actually
up your?
so low maintenance. All I need is like a couch. I'm so
Okay.
low maintenance. I'm
I could do a couch.
so again, I'm just putting my name
On
at the top of the list.
the
We have recorded audio of this. So
yeah. So I can't even back out now, I
yeah,
swear.
now and you know and but you know like $1 million in 10 years won't be worth much. All right. I think that's really it. I've already taken up like 28 minutes of your time, and that's
That's
too
pleasure.
much on this Tuesday evening. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that I should have? How about that?
No, but I'm also going to use this time, as always, to just give my love to DCS. I always have to. I talk about this program at least like once a month. I talked about it today, actually. Just talking about how this has really changed my life. And without this opportunity, I don't even think I would have ended up at GW, and be where I am. I actually think this is very pivotal in my journey. So always have to give thanks, to the program and for all you guys have done for me over the years.
Well, I think you have done it all yourself, and it's really like, yeah, I don't know. It's very, very cool to see what you're doing now. People are
Thank you.
very fortunate to have you, just advocating for them, and know that like whatever you choose to do, you're a rock star and will do great.
Thank
And
you.
then I'm gonna be employee number one. So
Yeah. Yeah,
selfishly,
so it does work out for the both of us,
Yeah,
it seems.
selfishly, I'm really fired up. But no, in all seriousness, thank you so much, for taking the time to do
Yes.
this. I really do appreciate it.